Praise God. You know, I can't help it. When I think about Australia, I think about the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin. Come on. I just want to get her to say, this is gorgeous coloration. Or maybe, you wouldn't want to take a hit from one of these. That would just be awesome. All right, so I want to talk today about the Lord's Prayer. And I started preaching this message, I don't know, a month or so ago, and I didn't get past the introduction. But today I'm actually going to teach it, the rest of the message, which is the Lord's Prayer. So we'll get into it. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Really, my goal today, what I want to do is I want to do two things. I want the Holy Spirit to inspire you that you can have a really enjoyable and effective prayer life. And enjoyable means that you like to pray, like you actually enjoy it. And number two, effective meaning that when you pray, God releases his power and it has effect on the thing or the people, the situation that you're praying for. How many of you would like that? How many of you would like to have a prayer life that you actually like? How many of you know we do things we like? That's just human nature, right? If you enjoy something, you want to do it again and again and again and again. And prayer is actually enjoyable. And so I want you to inspire you that it can be that way for you. And then I want to just give you practical instruction for how to get started, something you can go home today and put it into practice and just start practicing your prayer life and growing in your prayer life. And I think it's going to be something that's going to be huge for you. So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, Jesus has given his disciples instructions for just how to pray. And I think in the Lord's Prayer, you know, how many of you guys know it? Say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. See, some of you have memorized it in King James. Others have memorized it in the New International Version. I did both. I noticed I did both when I said it. But that's good. Here's what the Lord's Prayer is. The Lord's Prayer, it's not just a poem that's supposed to look good on your wall. And the Lord's Prayer, I don't even think, I do say it just as we just said it right there. I think I did it yesterday. I like to do that. It's just a quick little thing to focus my mind and pray through that thing. But I think what he's doing in the Lord's Prayer is he's not just saying you have to say this word for word for word for word. I think what he's doing is like, okay, I'm going to teach you guys how to pray. And these are the most important things you should be regularly in conversation with God about. So we're going to go through it today. And he says, when you pray, verse 7, he says, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father. So I think Jesus begins instruction on how to pray with saying you have to approach God with the right attitude. And that's really what he's dealing with here. Is that you're not coming, like prayer is, it's relationship. It's not about religious rituals. It's about relationship. Like God is your Father. You are a son or a daughter of God through Christ. You are a son or a daughter of God. And when you're talking to God, you're not talking to some stranger. You're not talking to like some distant deity that you have to somehow manipulate to get to do the thing you're asking for. You're talking to Father. You're not talking to this somebody that you have to convince with fine-sounding arguments. And it's you don't come, Jesus also talked about, and you're not going to come before him thinking you're going to get him to do stuff for you on the basis of performance. Like if I perform enough, if I just say this prayer 100 times, then it will work. If I, or whatever it is, and Jesus is like, throw all that out, all that, that's false religions, that's all that kind of stuff, that whole mentality of I have to earn something by how devout I am in my prayer life, or I have to convince God and try and manipulate God. Do you see a problem with that? God's not going to be manipulated. I think that's hilarious. I mean, God, he knows everything. He knows the motives of your heart better than you know. And we think we're going to like, God, you've seen how good I've done for the last week. You know that I've asked this like 18 times. And Lord, you have to do this. And he's like, yeah, you know what? He's not moved by our manipulation or anything like that. And so that whole mindset is actually what it does is it hinders our faith. It hinders our faith rather than strengthens our faith. So I just want to read this to you. I think I have this in your notes, but I just want to read it because I like the way I worded it here, and I think I say it good here. In essence, what Jesus is saying in these verses about coming before God with the right attitude, he's saying, do not come before me on the basis of performance and religion. Rather, come on the basis of intimacy and relationship. Praying vain repetitions is simply a religious formula that's void of relationship. I mean, God, this is what cults do. This is what, like, witchcraft and stuff like this. It's like you have to, or you fill in the blank on your false religion in the world. They all have these like formulas. You got to pray this and you pray it so many times and then you'll get the spirits to do this thing. And it's like, it's all these rituals and formulas and all that. And God's like, no, like that's what the devil does. That's how he works. That's not how I work. It is speaking prayers without engaging your mind and heart in what you are saying. We are not to approach prayer as a sterile, go-through-the-motions religious exercise that is void of relationship. In other words, think about this. We're not to pray like, oh, I have to pray. This is the worst 15 minutes of my day. Hit my timer. Go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Wait, focus, Jeff. Your kingdom come. And it's just like going through the motions. It's like, no, it's relationship. We're talking to Father. This is we're actually interacting with God, who is literally our Father. We are not talking to a stranger. We are talking to Father. Listen to this. He already knows us and our needs intimately. Do you know that when you present a request to God, you'll never present a request to him that he's not already aware of that you have a need in that area? He already knows. He already knows. Now, he still tells us to ask, right? Which we'll get to in a little bit. But it's good to know that he already knows our needs, and he's not an indifferent judge or governor that we have to convince with fine-sounding arguments and emotional appeals. I mean, seriously, I just say this because I think we all can kind of get this mindset. I know I've probably had this many times. I've caught myself praying with this mentality, and it's based upon my works. And I think, oh, I have to, like, if I can get the right Bible verse, and I trap him. No, you have to do this. Like, you have no choice. You know what I mean? You have to do this because chapter this and verse this, it says that you have to do this. And it's not this legalistic approach, this fine-sounding arguments like I'm the attorney backing him into the corner, making him do what I want him to do. It's not that way. And it's the wrong mentality to approach the Lord. Or we think if I can just work up enough emotion. I've actually heard preachers say this. They're like, you know, the prayer, they're like, it's almost like the more emotionally worked up you can get in prayer, the more it moves God's heart. That's not true. He's already moved to help you before you even thought to ask him. I can prove it to you. He died on the cross before you were ever born to make a way to provide for you what you're going to ask for. And sometimes you think, well, I gotta yell and I gotta shout and I just gotta do this and then he'll respond to me. Or no, if I cry, if I make myself cry. And have you ever watched, I've seen like sometimes like these, in India, these Hindu religious festivals and ceremonies. And to get the gods to respond to them and show them some kind of favor, they do all this crazy stuff where they will whip themselves. Like they'll bleed. They'll throw like all kinds of dust and powder and makeup, and they do all this kind of stuff, and it's like they're jumping through the right hoops to get the gods to respond. And it's like Jesus he's just like, guys, we're not going to be like that. That's not how I operate. That's not how Father operates. He already likes you. I'm about to go to the cross. I'm going to make a way so that he's justified in showing you grace and giving you favor and showing you mercy and helping you in your time of need. He's like, you don't have to do all that. You're not coming to this stoic judge that, boy, you better have your best argument that day or the prayer's not getting answered. It's not that way. We are talking with our Father who already likes us, he loves us, and he enjoys us. I like this sentence. He is already predispositioned to give you whatever you ask for because of his extravagant love and because he knows us and he trusts us. Unless you're asking him for something that's going to be like completely harmful to you or harmful to a situation, you know, he's like, yeah, that's good. Are you guys with me on this? Like, this is the Our Father word. When he starts off, this is how you should pray. Our Father. That mindset. He already loves you. He already likes you. He's already predispositioned to give you whatever he asks. And he already sent his son to make the payment on the cross to make it possible for that to happen and him being justified in doing that. So after instructing us how to approach God with the right attitude, I could preach a whole message on every point today. And that's my temptation that I'm going to avoid today. So in then he goes on, he said, this is how you should pray. He talks about approaching God with the right attitude, and then he talks about the content about what we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, all that kind of stuff. And again, these are the most important subjects. We should be engaging God in conversation regularly on these topics, on these things that he brings up here in the Lord's Prayer. And he says, we already said it, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, the Lord's Prayer. So I'm just going to go on. He gives six specific areas that we should pray for regularly. These six areas are the most important issues. I already said that. So let's go through them one by one. He starts off, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. To hallow means to stand in reverence or to stand in awe of something. So he's like, here's how you should pray. Start your prayer. First, you have the right mentality. Father, I'm coming to Father, right? Not just like, hey, Father of Jesus. He's like, no, my Father. Not just like Father of Pastor Autumn. He's like, no, my Father. Because I know Jesus. Amen? But then he's like, here's what I want, God. Here's what I'm praying for. I want your name to be revered and made famous throughout the earth. That's hallowed be your name. I want your name to be exalted, your name to be celebrated, made famous, that every person in the world would know your name, therefore knowing what you're like, and that they would revere you and stand in awe of you, and that they would celebrate you and give you the glory that is due your name. That's hallowed be your name. It's worship. A lot of times, the best way, I think, just to begin your time with, you know, when you're praying, is just worship. It's just actually to lift up God and to exalt Him. And we do that. It's like, well, I don't know how to praise God. He said, hallowed be your name. Here's something I want to show you. In the Bible, how many of you know God has many different names that He gives Himself in the Bible? Right? Many different names that He gives Himself. And do you know why He does that? It's like, can't you just pick one? I mean, why do you need all these? He's like, I'm doing it for you. It's because every time I reveal my name to you, it reveals a different aspect of my nature, a different aspect of what I like. And I do that because I want you to know me. And I want you to actually know what I'm really like. So for example, like I can just give a few of them. Jehovah Jireh means what? You guys know this. Yeah, the Lord's our provider, right? So we get hallowed be your name. Worship God. Lord, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord who is my provider. You provide everything we need. You provided your son to die upon the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You provided. I couldn't provide my own sacrifice. I could not provide my own atonement and salvation and forgiveness for my sins. I couldn't work it off. Somebody else couldn't provide for that. Only you could provide the atonement I needed, and you provided your son. I worship you as the Lord who provides for me. And then Paul says this, if he has given us his son, how much more will he freely give us all things? Jehovah Rapha means what? Come on, help me out. You guys know this. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord are. There you go. Yeah, it's healer. The Lord our healer. That's a powerful God saying, hey, this is what I'm like. I'm the one who heals you. I'm your source for healing. So when we worship the Lord, we can worship him. Just go by his name. Say, Lord, I worship you. You're the Lord, my healer. I thank you for that. How many of you think that it builds your faith when you're about to ask him for healing? Or you're about to ask him to heal somebody else that you care about? You first worship him. You're the Lord our healer. It wasn't my idea. I didn't make that up, wishful thinking. You gave yourself that name. You came to us and said, I am the Lord, your healer. Okay, I agree. Lord, let it be so. I worship you for being the Lord, my healer. How about this? Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord our, anybody know? The Lord our peace. Everybody knows the Shalom. The Lord our peace. Lord, I worship you as the one who is my peace. You know what it's like looking to God as the source for your healing, as the source for your provision, as the source of your peace? That's a big deal when you're in a storm and crazy circumstances are spinning around you that you have no control over, and they're anxiety-filled. And you can come to the one who is your peace in the midst of the storm and being like, you know what? The source of my peace isn't tranquility all around me and all my circumstances are aligned right. You are my peace. And I'm in you and you're in me. Like, that's a powerful thing to worship the Lord for that. Then it says Jehovah Tsidkenu. It's another one. It means the Lord our guide. Aren't you thankful for God's guidance in your life? I'm so grateful. I rely on that so heavily. He guides in so many different ways. But Lord, I worship you that you're the one who guides me. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord ever present. It's the one who is with us everywhere. Isn't that a cool fact about God? He's the Lord who's ever present. But I don't feel you. Doesn't matter. He is present. He is with us everywhere. But God, I'm in this strange place, in a strange situation, and I just feel like a fish out of water. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm with you. I'm everywhere. I'm the Lord who's ever present. You want to hear a cool story about Jehovah Shammah? I was praying in tongues one time. And I was just praying in tongues, and I rarely know what I'm saying when I'm praying in tongues. But I'm praying in tongues, and I actually heard myself several times say that Shammah, Shammah, Shammah. And then I was like, wait a minute. I was like, isn't that like a name of God or something like that? And so I looked it up, and I was praying in tongues, feeling the presence of the Lord, just being like, you know, Shama, whatever I was saying, but Shama, I kept saying Shama. And I was like, isn't that like Jewish? I'm like, because you always wonder, like, what language am I praying in right now? I do anyway. I looked it up and I'm like, the Lord is ever present. I'm like, dude, that's so cool. I was like feeling his presence and actually worshiping him in tongues, saying, Lord, you're present. Lord, you're present. I just thought that was a cool story. So back on point, Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts, our protector. Isn't that cool? Divine protection. Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd. Isn't that good? He's the good shepherd who leads us. Anyway, you can go on and on and on. But when Jesus is like, here's how you guys need to pray. Start off with worship. God, I worship you for who you are. Hallowed be your name. That means let your nature be manifest in all the earth to every people group. May you be celebrated, revered, and known for who you are. Isn't that good? Like, that's a great way to start your prayer. Right there. Just worship him. God, let your name be famous in all the earth. And guess what? I promise you this. That prayer is getting answered. That prayer, I promise you, the day is coming when Jesus will be the most celebrated, revered, heroic man among every people group in every corner of the entire earth. He'll be the most talked about person. Everywhere you go, people will be like talking about how Jesus did this. Jesus did this. Isn't it wonderful living under his leadership? Look what he's doing here. Look how much things have changed under Jesus' leadership. And he died for us. He's so beautiful. I mean, they'll just be talking about him all the time. And that prayer is going to get fulfilled. Anyway, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're talking about the content of your prayer life. So start with worship. Okay, everybody say worship. Okay, that's first, start in your prayer life. Second, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's intercession. Everybody say intercession. If you're taking notes, I'm giving you a good outline for your prayer time right now. You know what one of the problems with learning to pray is? If you're not familiar with it, what ends up happening is we're like, what am I going to do during this time? What do I say? What do I talk with God about? I love the Lord's Prayer. It's just an awesome outline, and you can just work your way through it. I've done this tons of times. I have lots of little cheat outlines that when I'm going to pray, how many of you know sometimes when you start praying, you don't feel like praying? Yeah. I know for me, that's a case a lot of times. And sometimes I do. Like the Spirit's already on me. I'm already in this conversation with the Holy Spirit, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to go do my prayer time and just keep talking, right? That's my favorite. But other times I come in, I usually pray in the mornings, and I'm like, I'm tired. And I just have a hard time focusing my mind. That happened to me the other day, like 2 or 3 days ago. I remember I was reading the Bible, and I was in kind of a challenging section to read anyway. I was like in the beginning of Numbers, and that's the problem. I don't even remember what it was about. It was something. And I remember just reading, like, I'm like, man, I just read like 4 paragraphs and I don't even know what I read because my mind checked out and I was thinking about something else the whole time. I'm like, ugh. So I go back to the top and I read it again and I got to the bottom like, dang, I did it again, man. I totally zoned out. I don't even know what I read. I did it like 3 or 4 times and finally I was like, I'm moving on. Like, just keep moving, right? And so that was like, I'm having the hardest time. Lord, help me concentrate this morning. My mind is going crazy, just wandering off. And so then I did this. This would be helpful for you. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a chapter and I won't read another chapter until I write down one thing in my journal that I learned from that chapter. And it helped me focus my mind. So then I was reading that chapter. I'm like, okay, where's the one thing? I just got to find one thing. I actually found several. And I wrote it down. I'm like, okay, good. I got it. But anyway. But sometimes we come to pray and our mind is wandering. And, you know, that's normal. That's just part of being human in this age. That happens. But having these little outlines, these prayer outlines or prayer lists, whatever you want to call them, helps jumpstart you when you're like, I can't think of what to pray this morning. And many times I've done this. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray right now. I don't even know what to talk about. I'm like, Lord's Prayer. Let's just work through it. Okay. Father in heaven. Yeah, thank you, God, that you're my Father. I love that about you. Hallowed be your name. God, may your name be famous in all the earth. may they know who you really are and what you're really like. And then I just do that. Oh, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I start thinking, where do I want to see a breakthrough of God's will being done right now in the earth? What's specific? I'll pick a place or a person. I'll be like, God, I pray for Myanmar, because lately that's a big one I pray for. I'm like, Lord, I pray for Myanmar. I pray that you'd break in Myanmar right now. God, I pray that you would raise up laborers who would preach the gospel there. And I just start praying for the will of God to be done in that specific place or situation. Now I'm in a flow of prayer. See what happens? That's why these prayer lists are so helpful. Is because when you don't feel inspired or you're kind of like, oh, what am I going to do? It helps jumpstart you into a spirit of prayer. Okay. So your kingdom come, your will be done. That's intercessory prayer. I would say this. Think of, like, this is a huge thing you can pray for. I'm going to say two aspects of this prayer. Number one, I think the ultimate fulfillment of this prayer, he's talking about the return of Jesus. And he's teaching his disciples how to pray. I'm telling you, we're coming to a point as we lead up to the return of the Lord. The Maranatha cry is going to grip the heart of the bride of Christ in every nation. Like the Spirit and the bride will say, come! And the Holy Spirit, we're going to be approaching the return of the Lord, and he's filled with longing. Like, come, let's fulfill the whole redemption plan you've been building for 6,000 years. Let's finish this thing. Let's do this. And he's going to put that cry in the heart of his bride, the Holy Spirit will, all over the earth. And that literally the Spirit and the bride together in unity will be crying out, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And that is the same as your kingdom come and your rule, your will be done in all the earth. And that's really what happens when that's the ultimate thing. And I would just say this, our prayer life, our faith in Jesus and our hope in Jesus, it has to be anchored in the blessed hope, which is the return of Jesus. And I would say in the cross and the resurrection together. I feel like I'm preaching better than I'm getting credit for. Yeah. In a little bit, I'm going to start preaching myself. And I'll just enjoy my own preaching. So we pray your kingdom come. We're praying for that. Like, come, Lord Jesus. God, we look for your return. Come and make all the wrong things right again. But then it also, your kingdom come, it's now. It's like we want to see a break-in of the power of God now that makes wrong things right. Because there's lots of breakthroughs God intends for us to experience now in this age. There are some that won't happen until after he returns. But there are breakthroughs he wants to bring forth right now. We know this. We know that it's his will of God now before the return of the Lord. Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached where? In all nations, every people group, and then the end will come. We know that it's the will of the Lord now that the gospel get to every people group on earth and that there be a thriving church among every people group on the planet. Presently, we've only reached about 60% of all the people groups on the earth. So we know when we're praying, God, your will be done. Your kingdom come with power right now. Start calling out those people groups to the Lord. Adopt an unreached people group. I encourage everybody to do that and make this a staple in your regular prayer life. I am going to pray forth laborers into unreached people groups and see God's will be done where their church comes forth among every people group on the earth. And that's a major thing the Holy Spirit's going to be putting into the body of Christ. But we pray for breakthroughs now, even situations that you're in your life and different things or friends, you know, it's like, hey, God, they need a breakthrough in whatever it is. And I mean, God has power and he releases his power now to give us breakthroughs that bring him glory. So we need to pray for that, the now breakthroughs, but then ultimately we need to anchor our faith in the ultimate breakthrough is when Jesus returns. All right, so give us today our daily bread. Jesus instructs us. This is just praying for your needs. What do I pray about? Start with worship. Then go into intercession, and you could spend forever. Just think of people in situations that you want to see God's power come and help them and make the wrong things right. How many of you know there's like millions of those people in situations all over the world? Start praying for the ones that are most dear to your heart. Start interceding for that. And here's the good news. God will release his power in response to our prayers to accomplish things. And I'll just say this too. There are things that God, it's his will to do. He wants to do them, but many times he won't do them unless we pray and ask him first. Because he has ordained it that everything he does on earth, he does it in partnership with people who he's given authority to govern the earth. That's why prayer is a huge deal. The unreached people groups are not going to get reached apart from the prayers of this and the labor of the saints. Not going to happen. The salvation of Israel, it's on his to-do list. It's not going to happen without the prayers of the saints fervently praying. There's and the labors of the saints to reach them with the gospel. You guys with me? And there's breakthroughs in people that you know and coworkers and family members. And he wants to do it. But if we don't ask him, it will go undone. And when we stand before the Lord, it won't be because he wasn't willing. It's because we weren't willing to ask. Right? And so, I don't want to get to heaven and have this like massive miles long list of papers. Like, here's all the things I would have done for you in your life, but you never asked me for. I want that list to be as short as possible. Instead, I want the miles long. Here's all the stuff that I did because you were asking me regularly. Thanks for taking my teaching in the Lord's Prayer seriously and putting it into practice. Here's what you get for it. But give us our day, our daily bread is... So intercession is we're praying for the needs of others and breakthroughs. Give us today our daily bread as we're praying for our own needs. And God actually tells us to ask him for our needs. It's not wrong to petition the Lord and ask, hey, help, need some food. I need money to pay this bill. Need your help in this relationship with my son or my daughter or my wife or my husband or my coworker, or just like, God, give me wisdom. Give us breakthrough. Help me. Lord, I have need in my heart. My heart is hurting right now. Like, that person hurt me. I need to forgive them and I need to love them. But God, I can't do it without your help. Would you help me? Give me, what do you need today? What do you need today? That's why prayer, it's an everyday, ongoing conversation with Father. It's like we're talking to him about our needs, our daily needs, and he's responding to us and giving us what we need day by day. All right, forgive us our sins is the next line. Forgive us our sins. Like, another thing we should do regularly before the Lord is confessing our sins to God in an attitude of repentance. That should be a normal part of, that's probably a daily part of my life. Is it just, there's daily cleanup that needs to happen in my life, honestly. There really is. Some days it's a bigger cleanup than others. Some days I have good days, but even on my good days, there's pretty much always a little bit of cleanup that has to be done in a little wrong attitude. A judgmental thought, a bitter thought, a proud thought that I catch, the Holy Spirit catches, and I'm like, ah, I repent of that, Lord. I just acknowledge that. Wow, I receive forgiveness for that. Change me, Lord. And that should just be part of our ongoing conversation with God. Again, this prayer that the Lord gives us, he's like, these are the things you need to be talking to God regularly about that are the most important things you should be talking with him about. And so forgive our sins. And then he says, as we forgive those who sin against us. That's just like an intimidating phrase. The word as is intimidating for me. You know what he's saying? How many of you would like to pray this prayer? God, I want you to forgive me my sins exactly like I've forgiven the people who have sinned against me. That's really what he's saying. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. It's like, I don't know if I'm... He's like, that's the way it is. He's like, I'm serious. It's like, okay, you know, because we're doing good on the Lord's Prayer, right? And we confess my sins. No, I'm doing good. I got nothing to confess, right? We just blow past to confess our sins, and then we get to as forgiving others, as, oh, never mind. I'm going to back up to the confessing my sins category. Lord, let's have this God forgive me for the bitterness. God, I forgive that person. Cleanse me of all that stuff. Now, Lord, you know, and that's exactly the thing, is he wants us to do that. But that's a regular conversation we should be engaged. The enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. That's one of the main hallmarks of how can I tell if it's the devil? There's a spirit of accusation and condemnation. And here's what he's doing. He's nonstop accusing. He's in our minds. He's accusing God of not being faithful. He's accusing God of all kinds of stuff. And we have to reject the thoughts of accusation. And then he's accusing you of being unfaithful. He's accusing you of being insincere. He's accusing you and trying to condemn you. You'll never measure up. You're a loser. You're unfaithful. You've been struggling with the same sin for a year. You're not going to overcome it. You might as well just quit and accept the reality of who you are. And he's just constant accusation. You're a bad mother. You're a bad husband. You're a bad wife. You're a bad son. You're a terrible daughter. You're a bad friend. You're horrible at this job. You're not very smart. You're not very anointed. You got a junk prayer life. You're terrible in your devotion to Jesus. I mean, he'll go on. You know these thoughts, right? I'm saying they're all from the devil. It's the accuser. He's nonstop accusing. He accuses God to us in our minds. He accuses ourselves to us. Do you know how much of our thought life is actually not meditating on God's words, but on the devil's accusations? And that's why we feel depressed. That's why we feel despair, hopelessness. That's why we feel consumed with rage and anger. It's because we're meditating on somebody else's thoughts that the source is not God. It's coming from the enemy. It's common in the body of Christ. The spirit of accusation is alive and well and thriving in the body of Christ. Just Google your favorite preacher. Doesn't matter who it is, probably. If they're well known enough, there's going to be slander and all kinds of stuff about them. And we talk about this. People will go home. This is so normal, right? And it shouldn't be normal. We have to repent of this. God is going to cleanse his church of this. But you know how normal it is for people? They go home after church and they criticize the worship leader. They criticize, they don't like this one song. They criticize what that one person was wearing who was up there singing. They criticize the sermon. They criticize the preacher. They criticize the people that came in next to them that they weren't really paying attention like they should be. They criticize the person. It's like, man, they're letting the kids just run wild everywhere. They criticize, man, that person was so gaudy, just waving their hands in worship before the Lord. Or they're criticizing, that person's just got such a religious spirit who's sitting there and they're not lifting their hands to the Lord. And the enemy's just like it's like his playground. I say that because I just want us to be aware of how common it is, and we don't even realize it. We actually the spirit of accusation is in the world, it's in the church, it's in the news media, it's in the sports media, it's in the movies, the television shows, it's everywhere. We're inundated with the spirit of accusation. So it's so common to us that I think it's so brilliant of God. Jesus is like, make sure one of the things you should regularly check your heart about and pray about, make sure you've forgiven. Take the spirit of accusation and condemnation out of your heart toward yourself, toward God, and toward others. Renounce that spirit of bitterness. Renounce your slander. Ask God to forgive you for how you spoke slanderous words against that person, or the way you sat there for 25 minutes and just entertained the accusing words of the enemy toward them in your heart. Instead, war against that. That's what he's saying. Act in the opposite spirit. Like, here's the deal. If you're in a stream and the current is pushing this direction, it's automatic you're going to go that direction unless you intentionally resist it and move in the opposite direction. Are you with me? And so he's like, forgive your enemies. Bless your enemies. Pray for those who even persecute you. He says this in the Sermon on the Mount right before this. And he's like, yeah, that you need to bring that into your conversation regularly to keep your heart cleared of the sludge, to keep your mind cleared of the sludge. Amen? Okay, then he says, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Which I love this. You know what? Wise people are self-aware. And here's what I mean by that. Wise people are aware of your strengths as well as your weaknesses. You're aware of your successes and the things that God has helped you overcome. And you're also aware of your weakness and the areas that you struggle and are prone to be more tempted in and need to overcome on a more consistent basis. And Jesus is like, talk to God about that. Don't just fight it by yourself and try to figure it out. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and I'm going to overcome this if it kills me. It's like, no, there are things we just need God to help us. And he's like, talk to God about it. Like, get God involved in your situation, helping you overcome sin. You struggle with lust. You struggle with bitterness. You struggle with that critical spirit. You struggle with pride. You struggle with fear and anxiety. You're always afraid that something bad's going to happen or you're not going to have enough. And you lay awake at night thinking about the bills and and worrying about your children and worrying about this and worrying about that. He's like, hey, don't just try to like take little classes and do little mental gymnastics. I will be peaceful. I will be peaceful. I am not afraid. It's like instead go to the Lord and say, God, you are the Lord who gives me peace. Lord, help me overcome this sin. Help me overcome lust. Help me not look at pornography. Help me, God, to... And then you know what? When you engage God in your situation, you'll find he releases power. He gives you ideas. Oh, I should do this and it'll help me overcome. On and on and on. I could go on and on about that, but don't let us yield to temptation. And here's the other part about that. Because I was just praying this morning. And it just, this thought came. You know, Satan has booby traps set for you to walk into. He comes at opportune moments. And he comes, usually it's like, we're halfway in the trap before we realize we're being trapped. Or many times for me, I'm fully trapped. I'm like, dang, the thing has got me. Like, I am stuck here. I walked right into it. I didn't see it, and it ambushed me. I did not see this coming. And I've just learned, I'm like, this is a brilliant prayer. Jesus is like, don't wait. If you get trapped, confess your sin, ask him to help you get untrapped, right? But I love this. This is like, these prayers are a preemptive strike. Lord, you know, I don't see all the traps, but you know every trap that the enemy is going to set up for me. And I ask that you would go ahead of me and that you would move the traps out of my path. I ask God that you would lead me not into temptation. Lead me away from temptation. You know, sometimes you get in this situation and you feel overwhelmed by whatever temptation it is. You know, whether it's anger or lust, or fill in the blank, and you've already lost your temper before you realize, man, how did that happen so fast? Like, I was doing good, I was having a happy day, and all of a sudden, whoa, what? I just got snared. And I'm like, God, lead me not into temptation. Go before me today and move the traps, or help me to see them enough in advance where I can listen to the Spirit, do what the Word says, and walk around it and not get snared. This is a brilliant prayer. And then verses 14 through 15 says, for if you forgive men. Oh, no, I can't skip the one of the coolest parts. It's the end of the Lord's Prayer. One place has it, another place doesn't. Some versions add it, some don't. I like the ones that add it. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Like, I love that. You begin with worship and praise and adoring him for who he is. You know what that does? It sets your mind right. Here's what happens. Whatever you focus on gets magnified. If I take a magnifying class, and I could have like a leaf here, a brown leaf here, and a green leaf here. And whatever I take that magnifying glass and focus on, that thing gets magnified, and it looks, you're looking through the magnifying glass, and it looks so huge, doesn't it? And then you take it out, and you see it in a proper perspective, and you're like, actually, it's not that big. But I think here's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to have our thinking not be on God. Instead, we're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about our enemies. We're thinking about our problems. We're thinking about the crises that are happening. We're thinking about these situations. We're thinking about our lack. We're thinking about on and on and on. And what happens is when we're focusing on that, right, it's magnified and it's overwhelming and it feels like there's no hope for me. I'm going down. And then in that frame of mind, we do really stupid things that later we regret. We do the type of things that people who are seeing properly are like, that was so stupid. His problem wasn't as big as he was thinking. There was a way out. You know what I mean? Like, God was going to rescue you. And whatever we focus on, but I love the Lord's Prayer. It starts with focusing on the character of God. Look at him, his beauty, his nature, his names, and focus on him. And you know what happens? Now you're going to move into intercession and petition and all this stuff. But now my sin doesn't look as intimidating because God's so much bigger. Brilliant. And then you end it the same way you started. You end it with this worship, praise, declaration. Yours is the king. You have your kingdom's going to rule forever and ever and ever. When all the kingdoms are crumble and fall, there'll be one left standing, and Jesus will be the one on its throne. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. You have all power. You have all authority. You have the glory. And it's just this declaration that resets our heart on the glory of God. And that's the way we want to live life. Amen. Because that fosters faith and hope, etc., inside of our hearts. And then he ends with this in verse 14 and 15. Then we're going to do something and finish. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins, which I talked about that already. I already emphasized that part. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you, like, I want you to walk out the door today with a prayer plan that is, you can put it into a practice, like, immediately. Okay? So I want you to write down your answers to these three questions. Go ahead and get your pen. Get paper. You can write it somewhere on in a corner of your notes or something. I'm going to ask you three questions. When you get these answers, you're going to have a prayer plan that you can start putting it into practice. Prayer is something you grow in the grace of prayer. Amen? You grow in it. And you don't grow by accident. You grow by intentionality. So question number one, when are you going to pray every day? When are you going to pray each day? Just write down the question and then write your answer to it. And there's no right or wrong answer. You can pray, some of you, you know, because everybody has different schedules and different life and different, you know, some of you are night people, some of you are morning people. Some of you have an opening in the middle of your day. It's the best time for you. Just pick the time that works best for you where you consistently set aside some time to pray and read the word. But when are you going to pray every day? And just write down the time you want. And this may change from season to season. You know, you may get a new job in 6 months and now you're working a totally different hours and you're like, okay, I got to sit down and redo my prayer plan. And you say, when am I going to pray now with my new schedule? And I'm always, you know, you always have to update it. And that's That's called living with intentionality. So when are you going to pray every day? You guys got that? Okay, number two, how long are you going to pray every day? How long are you going to pray every day? Now, the ultimate goal is we're praying like without ceasing. As we go through life, we want to live in fellowshipping with the Spirit, like, which means talking to God intentionally. I mean, I do this when I work. I do this when I play. You know, I do this whatever. If I'm in, many times, even in conversations with other people, in my heart, in my mind, I'm trying to engage in conversation with the Lord at the same time. It's like, Holy Spirit, reign over this conversation. Direct it in the direction you want it to go. Let it be edifying, etc. But I think this, it's super helpful to have to set aside a time each day where you can just move distractions out of the way and focus on talking with God without distractions. So how long do you want to pray each day? That's what I'm talking about, is how long do you want to set aside? And again, do something that's doable. If you're like, I don't do this at all, start with, you know, I'm going to give 15 minutes. I'm going to give 10 minutes a day of focused prayer. So again, that's 10 minutes a day of focused prayer. And just do that and start building it from there. And then you can always add time later. I love this. Like David said, I think it was David. Psalm 63 or 42. I can't remember which one, or maybe 27. But anyway, he says, he has this phrase, he's talking about the Lord, and he's like, when can I go and meet with God? I love that. Like, that's the desire of his heart. He's like, because what happens is when you start experiencing the pleasure of interacting, conversation with the Lord, it is so wonderful. You'll start getting like, when can I do this again? And of course, you can keep doing it throughout your day, but it's like, yeah, I know, I like that, but I want to have time where I can just set aside distractions and really just drink deeply. And so start with 10 minutes, or if you're already like doing that, stretch yourself. Like, God, I'm going to do 15 minutes. I'm going to do 20 minutes. I did this. I'll just say this as an example. Many years ago when we lived in Missouri, we were going to a church, and we were youth and children's pastors there. And kind of all the leadership, the pastor had us together. And we had this month or something like that where he gave us this checklist sheet of paper, and everyone was required to pray 20 minutes a day. And we had to check off yes or no if we prayed for 20 minutes that day of focused prayer. I loved it. It was so helpful to me. Because I was like, I couldn't lie. I'm like, I can't pray 18 minutes and check this off. I have to pray 20 minutes every day. I would literally set my timer on my oven. I'm like, ready, set, go, our Father in heaven, or whatever, you know. And I just start praying. But you know what would happen? I loved it. It actually stretched me, because it actually forced me to get into a flow of prayer. And what ended up happening is it was really hard 20 minutes. And 20 minutes came, and I'm like, every 2 minutes I'm looking, is it almost there? No, okay, God, provide my daily bread again, you know, whatever it is. But, and 20 minutes came, I'm like, done, praise God, thank you, Lord, we did it, check. And that was good. But many times, you know what happened? By the end of that 20 minutes, I was in a flow of prayer, and I didn't want to stop. So I just turned off the timer, and I just kept going as long as I wanted to go. But it stretched me, forcing me to stretch it to that 20 minutes. So I encourage you, like, yeah, set a goal. How long are you going to pray each day? So you must have that by now. Last question. What am I going to pray about each day? So when you get to your prayer time, what are you going to pray about? I already gave you that, the Lord's Prayer. That's the whole message was on that. You have your content. Start with worship, then go into intercession. Your kingdom come, then go into petition, pray for your daily bread, then confess your sins, then forgive those that you need to forgive, then pray those preemptive prayers. God, help me to overcome, protect me from the evil one, let me miss the traps he's laying out for me, you know, and then yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen. So you got the content, and here's the deal. I would encourage you to go home and do this, okay? And I'm finishing with this. Work through each one of these categories in the Lord's Prayer and put specific things in there. So like, hallowed be your name, worship, right? Write, go home and write down what are 10 things about God that you like. And write them down specifically, right? Then when you get to that time, you're like, okay, hallowed be your name. I'm going to worship you. What am I going to talk? What am I going to say? You're like, oh yeah, Lord, I thank you that you're the Lord, my healer. I just worship you for that. And it helped jumpstart you in a flow of worshiping the God. Or sing your favorite worship songs to the Lord, you know? But then your kingdom come, your will be done. Intercession. Like, what are 5 situations in the world or people in the world that you would like God to release his power and help and see his will be done in that area or in that person's life? Write their names down. Write the situation down. Write the unreached people group down. Pray for that. And then pray for that regularly every day. Okay, your daily needs. Write down, like, take time to do this before your prayer time, and it'll help get you into a flow when your prayer time comes, right? What are some of your needs you have right now? What are 5 needs that you need God help? It can be relational needs, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, on and on and on. We have all these different needs. You know, God, help me to get healthy. Help me to eat right. Help me to exercise. You know, these are, I actually talk to the Lord about these things. Like, these things matter to the Lord. And so if I'm going to do it, I want to do it with him. So I'm going to invite him into the situation. But if you think through each one of these categories and write specific things down in each one, and you can change them from season to season, but it'll help jumpstart you into a flow of prayer. And then just this. And then when you're praying, you can have your list, right? But always go with the flow of the Spirit during your prayer time. So sometimes I'll come into my prayer time and I just get stuck on worship. And I'm enjoying it so much, I don't want to stop. I'll just keep going. My prayer time's done. I'm like, well, I didn't get to every other category, but I just had a great time praying and worshiping the Lord. And that's good, right? Sometimes I'll move and I'll get to intercession. I'll be praying for a situation and the Spirit comes and I feel it and it won't lift and I feel that burden. I just keep praying through it. Right? And I don't get to the other stuff. That's okay. Sometimes you're praying for a need and whatever. So if you don't get through your whole list, it doesn't matter. The list is not a taskmaster. It's a servant just to help us scorch you into getting into a flow of conversation with the Holy Spirit. So you got a prayer plan. Lord, me pray for you and then we'll be done. Father, I love you. I love this prayer. Thank you for teaching us about prayer, Jesus. And here's the thing, like, it's not enough to know it. Help us to do it. Help us to live it. God, I just pray for every person in this room, like, even this week, that you would strengthen our prayer life, that you would take us from a 2 to a 3, or from an 8 to a 9, God, that you would strengthen our prayer life. God, help us build our faith that we can pray and enjoy conversation with God. And it can be something we truly delight in and look forward to and practice regularly. Father, I pray that our prayer lives would be powerful and effect and that we would see answered prayers more just because we're praying more. God, help us to be consistent and just reaching to you and engaging you in conversation about these topics. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, man. Have a good day.